Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom and Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us. Pull up a chair, we're ready to get started with the study. So let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne on your Erev Shabbat, and we thank you and we bless you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, in a dangerous world of all the protection that your cherubs put around us, and we thank you for caring for all our needs. We pray, Father, for your kingdom to come on the earth as is in heaven, and we pray for those who suffer in this world. We pray for your people throughout the world that are calling out to you, that need your help this day. And we thank you so much for the great sacrifice of your son, Yeshua. And as we enter this Passover season, we pray, Father, that you can help us to understand that to a greater extent. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, I will get into I have a lot of world news here. I don't know if I'm going to get into all of it because I want to get into the study tonight that we will get into on Passover and the timing of it. So let's start here. This is an article from a few days back. It says, North Korea claims almost 800,000 people have signed up to fight against the United States. So there's a lot of things in the news about North Korea this week, and you know, I mean, for years they push a hard line, and they back down a lot of times. But who knows what's going on now? If they feel threatened enough, you know, like when you have a wounded animal there, you don't know what they might pull. But they say here that 800,000 people have signed up beside their normal army, you know, so. Which I think is close to 1 million people or something like that. So they're doing. Here it says, North Korea's intercontinental ballistic missiles could hit central U.S. in just 33 minutes. Wow. So that's pretty heavy, you know. I mean, because now they have nuclear weapons. Now they have the the missiles that can bring them to the U.S. So just reading a little bit here. It says, North Korea's ICBMs can conceivably penetrate the U.S. missile defense system. And the study simulated a launch toward Columbia, Missouri. So that's right in the middle of the U.S. And it says, on Thursday, North Korea test-fired its most advanced nuclear-capable missile. And that the ICBMs could hit the central U.S. in just 33 minutes, according to this new study that's out here. Which pointed to potential gaps in the U.S. satellite-aided system for tracking missiles. So I know the U.S. has been behind on that technology compared to some other countries. And a simulation run by the Beijing Institute of Electronic System Engineering found that one of its missiles could hit the U.S. mainland within 1,997 seconds. So divide that by 60 to see how many minutes it is, if not intercepted by the U.S. missile system. Okay, as we continue, it says, Russia and China's new alliance is beginning to echo December 1941. So the Chinese president has been meeting in Russia. And very interesting that they came out and they made a proclamation. They had a news conference at the end of their meeting. And they said that they are working together to create a new world order. But not the new world order that's currently there with America as the leader, but apart from that. So this is talking about, I guess, the alliance that came together with Hitler and Mussolini, probably, going on, you know, that side. And I think they both realize in their interest that Putin and Xi from China must work together if they're going to counterattack U.S. Here's North Korea's Kim Jong-un calls for nuclear attack preparedness on U.S. and South Korea. And this is as the U.S. has been doing military exercises with South Korea in the area there, and they are not happy as normal. Here's another one. North Korea, latest missile simulated nuclear counterattack. So they're simulating shooting nuclear missiles at the U.S. and South Korea. And the next article. Dramatic moment, Russian fighter jet intercepts two U.S. nuclear bombers over the Baltic Sea. So, U.S. had two nuclear bombers there, and a Russian fighter jet intercepted the two nuclear bombers. It said its fighter jet B-52 strategic bombers flying toward the Russian border on Monday, but that it returned to base after they moved away. So the White House did not want to comment on that. Came after the first known direct military encounter between Russia and the U.S. since the Ukraine war began, when an American military surveillance drone crashed into the Black Sea on March 14th. So this is after that, I read that last week to you, having been intercepted by Vladimir Putin's jets. And the U.S. was criticizing Russia for its reckless, unprofessional attack. Here's another. This is on another subject. Off-duty pilot flying as passenger takes over plane after captain becomes incapacitated mid-flight. This is from Southwest Airlines. And you're starting to see this in the regular news for almost 3 years. If you have alternative news sources, you know, like Brighteon and these sources, they always bring this out. You know, how many? There's several hundred pilots that have collapsed flight, more than three or four dozen that actually died. But you don't really see it. Now the regular news is starting to bring this out. And almost every week you're seeing a pilot in midair collapsing. So again, from the, I believe it's from the vaccine, you know, that this is what's happening. It's been happening since they forced the pilots to take the vaccine. And a lot of these things, I won't get into the article, but just wanted to mention that. Here's another one. The ICC, International Criminal Court, announced this week that they put out an arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin. For war crimes, and Russia came back and said any attempt to arrest Putin would be a declaration of war on Russia. So, wouldn't that be interesting? Putin is not really traveling these days to areas except, you know, ally areas, but let's say Putin went to Germany, for instance, and that's what he's saying in the article, and they were to arrest him, the man who was president before Putin and then was also the Secretary of State with him, said there would be nuclear missiles coming over there to Germany almost immediately. So keep an eye on that one. Here's another one. Drone strike kills U.S. contractor in Syria. U.S. retaliates. This just happened last night and this morning, that a U.S. contractor was killed and five U.S. service members and one other U.S. contractor were wounded when a suspected Iranian drone struck a facility on a coalition base in northern Syria on Thursday. In a statement released late Thursday, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said U.S. Central Command forces retaliated with precision airstrikes against facilities in eastern Syria used by groups affiliated with Iran's Revolutionary Guard. The Defense Department said the intelligence community had determined the unmanned aerial vehicle was of Iranian origin. So that's not good if Iran is getting in direct conflict there with the U.S. As also, as I've been mentioning, as they're getting close to a nuclear missile, and Israel has been saying they're not going to allow that, but Israel's having all kinds of problems that I'll get into here in a minute or two. Here's another interesting article that just came out yesterday. From all places, Utah, right? Utah in U.S., where what is the area of Utah? It's the area where the Mormons live, right? It's a extremely, supposedly conservative, religious area. And look what it says. Utah School District considers a Bible ban under new sensitive materials law. The David School District received a petition from parents to have the Bible removed, not just in school, but have removed, period. Fight for Schools Executive Director Ian Pryor says schools focus too much on social issues over academics and parents should have more transparency in their children's education. And a school district in Utah may ban the Holy Bible after Parents complained that it contained inappropriate and pornographic material, forced it to face committee review. So they're claiming that the stories in the Bible are ridden with sexual things and all other kinds of stuff, which some of it is, but actually it's a history of what happened. So, I mean, some of that stuff is going to be there. But can you imagine here that claiming with all the other evil, sinister stuff, millions of pornographic websites out there, and they want to ban the Bible, saying it's too explicit. And another very disturbing article that comes out of Israel, where it says, despite Prime Minister's assurances, Christian scientists bedeviled by anti-missionary bill. So the United Torah Judaism, who is one of the ultra-Orthodox parties in the Netanyahu government, sponsored a bill submitted at the start of the Knesset, and it talks about imprisoning anyone in Israel who would tell a Jew, mention the name of Yeshua, not even try to proselytize or convert, but simply to mention the language of the bill would make soliciting an adult to change his faith punishable by 1 year in jail. And if the individual you were speaking to was under 18 years old, it would be automatic 2 years in jail. So this is very disturbing to see Israel coming up with this. And basically, just by going up to people and talking about the name of Yeshua would bring a 1 year jail sentence coming in there. They talk about all the help and money that Christian organizations give Israel, and most of these say even if that bill came and even if they were arrested, they would still support Israel. So, I mean, yes, we always support our brother Judah, but not when they're doing evil things, and it's certainly not when they're going against Yahweh and his people. North Korea claims radioactive tsunami weapon tested sea. So they have a radioactive nuclear weapon that would make a tsunami that could, you know, possibly take away the whole West Coast. So like I said, a lot of things about North Korea that have been in the news in the last week. And pretty much everybody now is saying that it's a foregone conclusion by 2025, the latest, you know, the U.S. will be at war with China. I mean, it's... I believe the same. I hope I'm wrong, the same way as most of these pundits that hope they're wrong. But what you're seeing is they pretty much see now they're at a point of no return, and they're looking at this as an existential threat on both China and the U.S. So both are preparing for this, and we'll see what happens. And then another disturbing article here from China, inside China's red zone where North Korea women are sold as slaves. And I've mentioned this before. This has gone on for a long time with between pedophile and child slave trafficking, but also with women. But now, more than anything that's trafficked in the world, more than drugs, more than guns, more than anything, is people. So we're at a dangerous point here as human beings in this world. And who knows? Who knows? Only Yahweh knows where it's going from here. But one thing is certain, this world can't continue at the way they're going. That something has to break, and we see it. So, you know, it's amazing when you think about it, that talk about the Shemitah year, you're building up, you're tearing down. And, you know, I'll mention this happened in this year in the Shemitah, and this happened in that year in the Shemitah. But here it is. I'm just going week by week. Could you imagine? Week by week, not small stories, but major stories. And I'm not even covering half of what's happening in the news all across, you know, like regular news, as this week talking about President Trump getting indicted and arrested and all these other things. I'm really going into more things that hit with prophecy and world news and things that are world changing. And wow, you know, I mean, every week you see this. So Like the Bible says, you know, watch and pray always. And we, as you see these things start to happen, look up, for your salvation is near. So we need to make sure that, you know, we are watching and we are looking out, because, wow, things are really going on. So here we are. This will be our last Bible study until after Pesach, as I need to prepare for, you know, Pesach week and Passover and this, the messages and all the different things that are going on. I will be giving messages, as always, on the Hagim, the holy days, and also on the Shabbat during Pesach week. So today I was looking at different things. We have a lot of questions recently coming in all over the place. And I thought I would go over a topic with Passover. And I went over several times, we have it online, about the timing of Passover, you know, the 14th compared to 15th. Excuse me. So I don't think I'm going to go over that tonight. And also the beginning of the year. The only thing I would like to say with the beginning of the year is, some people have been asking, you know, why we just had, you know, and by the way, Shana Tova, Happy New Year. It's the beginning of the year. It was March 23rd, the night of the 22nd, the day of the 23rd, was the first day of the year. And the equinox also happened this week, so it's, we know we can't start the year until the after the equinox, because the equinox is the dividing point between summer and winter, and you can't start a new year in the old year, so that's really simple. And again, I went over this many times with that. So I'm not going to go over that tonight, but I just want to go over why, because the new moon conjunction happened March 21st, and I believe it was 7:30 in the evening, something like that, somewhere around there in Jerusalem time. So, you know, people were asking why was March 23rd the first day of the year? Because if March 21st, right, if it's after sunset on March 21st, you can't start a day within a day, right? So what you have to do is, that's when the new moon conjunction happened, and what happens? Then you just wait, like you do with Shabbat, you wait for sunset to come to you and the day to come to you. So that means the following day, sunset of March 22nd, would have been the first day of the new year, the year of Aviv. So the day of March 23rd and the night of March 22nd. So that's why March 23rd started the new year. And you count from there 14 days until the Passover, which makes the Passover this year on April 5, which is a Wednesday. And you would keep the Passover Tuesday night, April 4th. Now, interesting enough, this is why tonight I really want to go over when was Yeshua crucified. Because for many years, when I was in the Church of God, if I was given a Bible study like I'm doing tonight, I would probably tell you that this year now, this year 2023, is similar to the year Yeshua was crucified, because we thought that Yeshua was crucified on a Wednesday in April 5th of that year. What got me thinking was, once we started looking, because back then they didn't have websites and they didn't have computers and they didn't have time and date, so they couldn't really go back years and look to see when something happened. Today we can. Praise Yahweh for that, that we're able to go back and we're able to see, you know, when it started. So what happened was, I forget how, you know, when all this stuff coming on the calendar and all this stuff, oh, it was going on, when does a day begin, you know? I'm sorry, when does a month begin? So as I was studying, is it the day of conjunction or is it the following sunset? And of course, we realized it was the following sunset, because you can't start a day within a day. So if conjunction happened at, let's say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and sunset was at 6:30, you can't go back and start the month almost 23 hours before the new moon actually happened. Because then what you're doing is you're overlapping time. You know? So Yahweh does not overlap time. You can't have two of this. You have to let one time run out before another time starts. And that's why you can have the new moon and the new month start the day of the equinox. A matter of fact, in a perfect world, that's the way it would be every year. That the new moon would happen on the day of the equinox, and that would be day one. But you can't have it happen before that. So if the equinox was March 22nd, and the new moon was March 21st, then you'd have to add a month. Because the year isn't over. There's still one day left of winter. So that's what happened. So what happened was, for whatever reason, I looked up, well, when was actually the Passover in 30 AD when Yeshua was crucified? And amazingly enough, looking up, the actual new moon in 30 AD happened on, let me see if I have it here. It happened on March 23rd. It was one day past here. So the first day of the year then would have been March 24th, which would have made Passover not Wednesday, April 5th, but Thursday, April 6th. And I was like, wow, how can that be? That doesn't make any sense. You know, because I was taught from Church of God for so many years. They taught this thing of the Wednesday crucifixion almost more than they even taught about Yeshua being the Messiah. It was like one of their pet peeves there. But here it was. There's no way to argue with it. This is in the year he died. That's what happened. The Passover was on a Wednesday. The Passover was on a Thursday. A Wednesday night Passover in the day of Thursday. So that's when got me studying into this. And then once I took off the blinders and started studying, I saw, wow, there's so much biblical evidence for that. And there is zero biblical evidence that he died on a Wednesday. I mean zero biblical evidence. He did not die on a Wednesday. That Passover was on a Thursday that year. The Holy Day was on a Friday. And then Shabbat. There were two Shabbats that week, a Holy Day and the Passover. So this is what I want to go over tonight. I'll go over only so much in the biblical calendar book that is online. Some of you have it, you know. But you can read it online. I have a whole chapter on this. And I extensively go over it to prove it. So this is one proof. One proof is, it's a fact. It's a fact. Because this is what we do every month of the year, right? Every single month, we look at the conjunction and we count 14 days. So we can't do that for every single year of our life. But then when we're going to look back in 30 AD when Yeshua died, if it doesn't fit our theology, we can't say, well, there must be something wrong. Let's just change it. Because that's what the churches do. But what we do is we follow the truth. We don't follow tradition. And unfortunately, Church of God did not have computers in those days and they couldn't look it up in timeanddate.com. But we can today. So, they made a mistake. What can I say? But we're going to see here clearly, what really happened in that time. I'm going to start in Matthew 12, 39 and 40. Says, but answering, he, Yeshua, said to him, an evil and adulterous generation seek a sign, and a sign shall not be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. And even as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Right? So we're going to see he was in the earth 3 days and three nights. So 99% of professing Christianity celebrates the death and resurrection of Yeshua every year from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. And there's no way from Friday afternoon to early Sunday morning you can get 3 days and three nights. It's impossible. There's no way to get that. So clearly we see that the only sign he gave that he's the Messiah, they don't follow. They're not following that sign. So first of all, I want to show you, because what the skeptics say, the Church of God skeptics that try to say, he was crucified on a Wednesday, which makes no sense because we know certainly he was resurrected in the nighttime portion of the first day of the week. before the sun rose. What we call Saturday night, that's when Yeshua was resurrected. 100% we know it, you know, which is the nighttime portion of the first day of the week. Because we have so many things that are written in it from contemporaries of his time. And as we're going to see, it was a big controversy in the first century because they were meeting on the first day of the week just as a memorial of Yeshua's resurrection, not as a holy day. And they were meeting on Shabbat. And then when the anti-Semitism came in, they stopped meeting on Shabbat and just started meeting on Sunday due to the resurrection. So that's where Sunday worship came from, you know, because he was resurrected. It was before the sunrise came up, so the sunrise services are not biblical because it was still dark when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. But it was not on the Sabbath. There is zero evidence, zero proof. There is not any historical evidence whatsoever or biblical proof that Yeshua was resurrected on Sabbath. You know, Sabbath is a day of rest. So it was after the Sabbath was over. After the Sabbath was over in the nighttime portion, as we're going to see here. And it clearly says that Yeshua will be resurrected on the third day, not after the third day. And the nonsense that Church of God used to teach that he had to be in the grave exactly 72 hours. Herbert Armstrong used to say, if he wasn't in the grave exactly 72 hours, then he's a fraud. And it's like, wow. You know, I mean, I sure wouldn't want to be him laying in the grave now with that on my mind. Because nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that Yeshua had to be in the grave 72 hours. And it's actually ridiculous to even think that way. Because like I always say, you know, that when you look at the word day, the word yom, it can be a 24-hour day, it can be a portion of a day, or it can even be a time period like the day of Yahweh, just like in English. And if I were to say, oh yeah, you know, last year I was in Florida for a day. And they, oh yeah, you were there 24 hours exactly? Nobody ever thinks that way. When does anybody ever measure when you say you've been somewhere for one day or, yeah, I was 2 days over here. Oh, you were exactly 48 hours there? No, of course not. Of course not. In the Bible, it also doesn't do it that way. The Bible also sets it up as if there's a portion of a day, it's a day. It's considered a day. So the first thing I want to show here is that Yeshua, Scripture clearly shows he was to be resurrected on the third day, not after the third day. Okay? Mark 9:31. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And being killed, he will rise up on the third day. That's Mark 9:31. Matthew 16:21. From that time, Yeshua began to show his disciples that it was necessary for him to go away to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and to be raised on the third day. Matthew 17:23. And they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised. And they grieved exceedingly. Matthew 20 and verse 19. And they will deliver him up to the nations and mock him and scourge him and crucify him. And on the third day he will rise again. Luke 18, verse 33. And flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. Luke 9, and verse 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. So over and over and over again, it clearly says that Yeshua would be resurrected on the third day. Now, why is that? Luke 9:22 was the last one. So why? Why did it have to be on the third day? Because look what it says in Psalm, and every word of Yahweh has to come about and be exactly like it says. Psalm 16, in verse 9 through 11, it says, so my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not give your Holy One to see corruption. You will not give your Holy One to see... What is he talking about? He's talking about Yeshua being resurrected and his body not being corrupted in the grave. Well, when would that corruption happen? After 3 days. After 3 days, and again, depending on where you're buried, if you were down the Dead Sea, maybe it would be a little longer. But after 3 days, normally, particularly Jerusalem, the body would start to corrode. How do we know that? We know it because Lazarus, or let me read it here. John 11, let's go to John 11. with Lazarus. That this is when, remember, when Yeshua came there and he raised him up, and what happened when he told them to take the stone away? We'll read it here. First I'll read John 11:17, then I'll drop down to verse 38. Then coming, Yeshua found him already being held in the tomb 4 days. Right, talking about Lazarus. And then verse 38. Then groaning again within himself, Yeshua came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was placed on its entrance. And Yeshua said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, my master, it is the fourth day, he stinks already. So by the fourth day, the body would have already been corrupted. And that's why scripture says he will be resurrected on the third day. Before 3 days are over, he will be resurrected. So that what? So that the body would not see corruption, as we read in Psalm 16. So again, that's very clear. It's not after 3 days. So if he's was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon, count 3 days and three nights. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Right? And then they also don't count the Wednesday portion of the day. They just count Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they say it was late in the day on Saturday. But that's another thing where they're not being honest about the situation. Because be honest, if it was Saturday afternoon, and Yahweh forbid, but if I drop dead 2 o'clock or 2:30 on Saturday afternoon, would people say that I died on the first day of the week? Of course not. They would say I died on Saturday. I died on, because if I died within the day of Saturday, that's the day I died. Now, for some reason, though, when they're counting here with the 3 days and three nights, even though we know for sure Yeshua died between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, right? He was put on the torture stake at the depending on whether you're going by the Hebrew or the Greek timing, the sixth hour or the ninth hour, but it was 9 o'clock in the morning till between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. So that's when he died. So he died on that day, which, you know, if they're saying it's Wednesday that he died on, then that means he died on Wednesday. So Wednesday afternoon would be the first day. Sunset wasn't until, you know, close to 6:30 in the evening. So he's dying 4 hours before sunset. You can't say he died. Start counting from Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that's the point of why it doesn't make any sense, you know, what they're saying. Because if he died on Wednesday, there's no way he could have been resurrected when he did. And we're going to prove that from Scripture, right? We'll prove it from Scripture that he died not on the fourth day, or rose not on the fourth day, but on the third day. So, the clearest scripture in the New Testament showing when Yeshua was crucified comes in Luke 24, when he's before the two disciples, right? Yeshua appears to them, right? Chapter 24 of Luke. And on the first of the Sabbaths at dawn, while still dark, they came on the tomb carrying spices which they prepared, and some were with them. And they found the tomb having been rolled away from the stone, and going in, they did not find the body of the Master Yeshua, right? So why? Because he was resurrected right before that. Very interesting. When Yeshua died, there was a great earthquake right as before he died. And then there was a great earthquake right before he was resurrected. So probably somewhere, you know, 2-3 in the morning, something like that was when he was resurrected. And he's here. It's still dark. It's probably 5:30 in the morning, whatever, something like that. And it's still dark, and he's already gone. So then what happens? He meets these two disciples as they're coming, you know, from Emmaus. And he starts talking to them about himself. And then they said to him, you know, don't you know what's going on? And I'll start in 19. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Yeshua the Nazarene, who was a man, a prophet, mighty in deed and word before Elohim and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the judgment of death and crucified him. So what are they talking about? They're talking about when Yeshua was crucified. But we were hoping that he is the one to redeem Israel. But then with all these things, this third day comes today since these things happened, this third day comes today. When is this? When he meets them? We just said it. It's the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early Sunday morning. He was already gone, right? And then later, Yeshua is walking on the road. And behold, two of them were going, verse 13, on the same day. On the same day. So it's the first day of the week. No problem about that. You know, later in the morning or early afternoon, he meets them the same day. And they're saying to him, don't you know about the death of Yeshua and the crucifixion? And today is the third day since it happened. So a child can count back 3 days from the first day of the week or Sunday, right? So if you count back, what is one day from Sunday? If I said, if it was Sunday afternoon, I said, this happened one day ago, it would be Saturday. Well, if I said, this happened 2 days ago, then it would be Friday from Sunday. If I said this happened 3 days ago, today is the third day since it happened, it has to be Thursday, the fifth day of the week. So again, the first day of the week, or you could say the eighth day, right? Because the Sabbath is seven, this is the eighth day, day of resurrection. So if you count back 1 day from eight, you come to seven. If you count back 2 from eight, you come to 6. And if you count back 3 from eight, you come to 5. So clearly, again, from Scripture, there is no other way to interpret this, that dogmatically, from Scripture, is telling us that Yeshua died on a Thursday, the fifth day of the week. No doubt. There's no other way you can get it. You cannot get from the first day, or the eighth day, however you want to count it, counting back 3 days, you can't come back to the fourth day of the week. You just can't do it. So this is extremely clear that here it is, Yeshua was resurrected on the first day of the week in the dark of the night, and he was crucified on Thursday afternoon. You can count, and you can still count, because people say, well, how do you get 3 days and 3 nights? Very, very simple. He died Wednesday afternoon, right? Between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, right? So Wednesday is one day. He died on Wednesday. That's the day he died. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm sorry, Thursday afternoon. What am I saying here? He died on Thursday afternoon between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. So he died on Thursday. He actually died on the day of Thursday, the fifth day of the week. So Thursday is one day. Friday is one day. Is 2 days. Saturday, Sabbath, is 3 days. 3 days, and then Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. 3 days and three nights in the tomb. Was it 72 hours? No. It never said it had to be 72 hours. And anybody that says that is ridiculous. Because like I said, there is nothing in time that anybody ever calculates that way. You know, even like when you have the feast. And you say, you know, we're 8 days and seven nights at the feast. People aren't counting hours, exactly how many hours that is, times it by 20. Nobody ever counts that way. And what happens is, and I'll tell you something, Church of God, in their answer, proves that they know they're wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because they admit that what I just read to you in Luke, that 3 days back, from Sunday afternoon has to be Thursday afternoon. So if you read their literature, you know what they say? They say, well, what they're talking about is not Yeshua's crucifixion. They're talking about after he was crucified on Wednesday, they claim. Then on Thursday, they put a guard at the tomb. And that's what they're saying. That finalized it. When they put the guard near the tomb on Thursday, that was the final of his death. And that's why they said that. Today is 3 days from that time. So they're admitting that you can only come up with Thursday, the fifth day of the week, if you count back from Sunday, 3 days. There's no other way you can come up with something else. They admit that. But then they have to lie and come up with some kind of crazy story, you know, that's it. When clearly we saw that is not it. What did they say? They said about Yeshua being crucified. That's what they said. When Yeshua was saying to them, what are you talking about? How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him, Yeshua, to the judgment seat and crucified him. That's what they're talking about. And today is the third day since that happened. So, case closed. You know, end of Bible study. I'll go over a couple more things. But there's no other doubt about it. He clearly was crucified on Thursday afternoon. There is, Matthew 24 says, after the Sabbath, or Matthew 28, I'm sorry. Matthew 28, verse 1 says, after the Sabbath, at the dawning into the first of the Sabbaths. So after what Sabbath? The holy day on Friday and the weekly Sabbath on Saturday. There were two Sabbaths there. We know that when Yeshua was being crucified, that the Sabbath, the preparation for that Sabbath was not the weekly Sabbath. Why? Because John 19:31 says that day was the holy day. It clearly says that. John 19:31 clearly says that it was the holy day. I'll read it here. John 19, verse 31, the beginning part. For the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the stake upon the Sabbath, for the day of that Sabbath was a holy day. Was a holy day. So clearly, Matthew 28 says, after the Sabbath, plural, at the dawning into the first of the Sabbath. What do they mean? The dawning of the first of the Sabbath, that's the Sabbath count to Shavuot. And in the first century, the Jews counted from the first day of the week. Because that's what the Bible says. There's two words for Sabbath in Scripture. One is Shabbat, right? That's the weekly Sabbath. And if it's a holy day, it's a Sabbaton. So, very clearly, when we do the count to Shavuot, it says Sabbath. The day after the weekly Sabbath, you are to count seven complete Sabbaths. It's not weeks, but it's seven complete Sabbaths. And the day after the seventh Sabbath is Shavuot, which always has to be on the first day of the week. The Jews always kept it that way. You know when they changed it? They changed it under Rabbi Akiva in the second century because more Jews were coming to faith over that. Why were they coming to faith? Because what I just read, the first of the Sabbath, the Sabbath count, because what happened on this day? On this day, the first day of the week, during unleavened bread, was the day that the priest would go out and they would get the wave sheaf, and they would beat the wave sheaf, and they would prepare the wave sheaf, and they would wave it up to Yahweh for acceptance. Because before the wave sheaf was accepted, you couldn't eat any of the new grain. And Yeshua perfectly fit the wave sheaf. I have an article online that you can go and read in our study section that clearly shows that. Yeshua perfectly fit that. And more believers were coming to faith, more Jews in the first century over that than anything. So Rabbi Akiva changed it at that time. He changed it to start the count after the holy day, not after the weekly Sabbath. And how do also we know it's not after the holy day? Because if you start your count the day after the holy day, Shavuot will always be on Sivan 6. And yet, in Scripture, it says we are to count. It never gives us a date. It says Passover is the 14th day of the first month. The unleavened bread is the 15th day of the first month. To the 21st day of the first month, and then we have, right, Yom Teruah is the first day of the seventh month, Yom Kippur, the 10th day of the seventh month, Sukkot, the 15th day of the seventh month, right? It's all tells you because it doesn't change, the same every year. It doesn't give us a date for Shavuot because you start counting the day of the weekly Sabbath, so it's always going to be a different day of the month. It's not always going to be Sivan 6, and that's why you have to count the 50 days. So, clearly, that's what it says there. So we know that you don't start on the holy day. You start after that. And this is a big reason for it. Because Yeshua was resurrected at that time. And do you remember, he told Mary Magdalene, when she came to him, do not touch me, for I have not ascended to my Father. You know, because of that reason. Because he was the wave sheaf. He had to go up to heaven and be accepted by Yahweh. And now we're accepted. Bible talks about him being the first fruit, right? In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of those having fallen asleep. So he is the first fruit. Verse 23, but each in his order, Messiah the first fruit, singular, after those of Messiah at his coming. So this was very, very clearly why he had to be resurrected on the first day of the week. Because of that, because he fit perfectly the first fruit, the from Scripture. So let's continue here now. And like I said, the controversy that was always there in the first century and the second century, with them changing the weekly Sabbath to Sunday, was not only for sun worship, although Constantine was a sun worshiper and he did it for that, but some of the Roman Christians, you know, because he was resurrected on the first day of the week and they didn't want to do anything that seemed Jewish, they started meeting on Sunday instead of Saturday. The true believers never did, because they knew the Sabbath is a commandment. And just because Yeshua was resurrected on the first day of the week, that has nothing to do with the Sabbath day, of changing the Sabbath day. So that is very clear. And let me continue here now. I want to show you that, and I mean, it's logic that, like I said, if you die at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a certain day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day you died, that's the day you died. You don't go to the next sunset from that. And meaningly that, like I said, a day can be 24 hours. It can be part of a day, the daylight portion, or it can be a full, you know, it could be a time period like the day of Yahweh. But nowhere did anyone ever in time, people calculate that days must be 24 hours. You know, that if you said, I'm going to be somewhere 3 days, then you had to be somewhere exactly 72 hours or you're a liar. As a matter of fact, if we go to Deuteronomy 21, in verse 22, it says, and if a man has committed a sin worthy of death and is executed, and you hang him on a tree, just like what happened with Yeshua, his body shall not remain all the night on the tree, but surely you shall bury him the same day. For he that is hanged is a reproach to Yahweh, right? You bury him the same day. So meaning, if he died between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, that is the first day he's dead. That according to the death count, that day is inclusive. The day that he died. So, clearly, and like I said, Yeshua died between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. That would have been the sixth hour. And Deuteronomy clearly tells us this is exactly what happened to Yeshua, that that day is inclusive in the count of his death. So, like I said, Thursday, if it was Thursday afternoon, which it was, because we know it according to the historical records, all you have to do is look it up. In time and date, right? That's why Yahweh works in the circular and the pattern doesn't change. The moon cycle is in 19-year moon cycles. And you could know, we could look back in time and know exactly when a new moon happened. And in that year, we know when it happened. I told you at the beginning of this. You know, so the first day of the year was March 24th, which made the 14th day of the year April 6th, which was a Thursday of that year. Same as this year, actually, except this year, the new moon happened one day earlier. So we do keep Passover this year on the 5th, but it's not a Wednesday. Well, actually, it is a Wednesday. Yeah. The Passover is on Tuesday night, and the holy day is on a Thursday. Passover is on a Wednesday. The day itself is on a Wednesday. But that year, it was on a Thursday. So like I said, that's why it's not exactly like this year. It's a little different. But you do get 3 days and three nights. And interesting, if you go to Luke 23, because the other thing is, if you're saying Yeshua died on a Wednesday, and then the holy day was on a Thursday, then why on earth didn't Mary Magdalene and the other people go to the tomb on Friday? Why did they wait? You know, like if she's going there on the first day of the week when it's still dark, that's how much she wanted to get there. To, you know, because the body's going to corrode and she's bringing these burial spices for him. There's no way on earth that if the holy day was on a Thursday and that Friday was an open day that she wouldn't have went there. And actually, look when we see here in Luke 23 and verse 53. It says, in taking it down, he wrapped it in linen, talking about Yeshua's body, Joseph of Arimathea, and placed in a quarry tomb where no one was ever laid. And it was preparation day, and a Sabbath was coming on, right? This is the Passover, and we already said this Sabbath was a high day Sabbath. It's not the weekly Sabbath. And having followed, also the women who were accompanying him out of Galilee watched the tomb and how his body was placed. And returning, they prepared spices and ointment, and indeed they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So what Church of God had to do is, between verses 55 and 56, they had to put a whole day in there. They had to say that there's a day between there that this doesn't exist, you know, because it's crazy. And then they said, well, if Yeshua died on a Thursday, which he did, and then you have the holy day on Friday and the Sabbath on Saturday, then when did she buy the spices before? And the answer is, she bought the spices on Saturday evening. Because the same as it is in Israel today, it's the same as it was 2,000 years ago, that when the Sabbath ends, the stores open up. So let's say, even when Sabbath is late, if Sabbath ends at 8:30 at night, by 9:30, all the stores are opening up. You know, if Sabbath ends here, it was ending at 6 o'clock, the stores would open by 7 o'clock. So that's a thing that happened all the time. How do we know it from Scripture? Well, it's very easy to prove from the book of Amos. Amos. Chapter 8 and verse 5 says, when will the new moon have passed? So these are people that are, they don't really want to keep the Sabbath and they don't want to keep the new moon. They're just waiting for it to end to what? To start making money again. It says, when will the new moon have passed so that we may buy grain? Or the Sabbath so that we may open the wheat, making smaller the ephah, making greater the shekel, to falsify the deceitful balances. So they're saying, when will it pass? When will sunset come that we could start selling again and cheating people? Now, if they weren't going to open up their store till the next morning, then why would they care when sunset came? It wouldn't make a difference to them because they'd have a whole night anyway. This only makes sense if they're opening up their shop Saturday evening, which they did. And a matter of fact, if you look in the Zondervan Study Bible, that you'll see for the note on Mark 16:1, that it shows that markets would have been open Saturday evening after the Sabbath had ended. And it notes that this was indeed Saturday evening, that this buying of burial spices took place by Miriam. So there's no doubt about that. So that's the way it's been for thousands of years. That was the custom then. That's the custom now. You know, I've seen it myself, you know, whether, you know, for 20 years living there, that's just the way it happens. You know, like the Sabbath, doesn't matter how late it ends. People just don't, when it ends, go to bed that night. Actually, things start. It's the first day of the week and people go out and the stores open up. So clearly that there is no mysterious day between verse 55 and verse 56. You really have to add the scripture to put some kind of day in there. And Amos proves that you know, when the Sabbath ended, she would have went and bought the spices she needed. She went there early in the morning while it was still dark. And that shows that there was no contradiction in it. So I think that we pretty much proved scripture, history. You know, like I said, you can't change when the time of the new moon is. We do it every month now. We see it. We tell you when the new moon is. We tell you when the new month starts. And we can do that for any time period in history. Because like I said, it's once it happens, it's etched in stone. And you can go back and look on the moon cycle and see when the new moon was in 30 AD, which I did, and you can do for yourself. And you could see that the Passover in that year in 30 AD when Yeshua was crucified clearly fell on Thursday, April 6th. So there's no doubt about that. And again, on the other side, proof for a Wednesday crucifixion is none. There is no biblical proof. There's no historical proof. There's nothing that says he died on a Wednesday afternoon and was resurrected on Sabbath, in the middle of the day on Sabbath. Zero. That is something the Church of God came up with, and it's a pet peeve of theirs, but they were wrong. You know, so I'm not judging the people that believe that way incorrectly, but it just cannot be proved from Scripture. It cannot be proved from Scripture or from history. And they will go through one Scripture, the last Scripture I want to go over here. They go to Daniel. Daniel 9 and verse 27, it says, "And he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the offerings." This is the only scripture that they try to go to to prove, look, in the midst of the week, that's a Wednesday. He had to die on a Wednesday. Well, number one, okay, according to Hebrew grammar, and you can look in any commentary, will tell you this, Daniel 9:27 is not even talking about the Messiah. It's talking about the anti-Messiah. Because in the Hebrew grammar, whenever there's a pronoun, it usually goes to the last object, the last noun that was stated, which was the anti-Messiah. So, more than likely, this is not even talking about the Messiah. It's talking about the anti-Messiah. And even, let's even put that to the side for a minute. Let's even say, okay, it is talking about the Messiah. This is a 70 weeks prophecy of years, right? So when it's talking about in the midst of the week, it's talking about a week of years. It's talking about 7 years. It's not talking about a week of days. So the whole prophecy is the week of days. So if he was cut off in the midst of the week or the midst of the 7 year prophecy, that would mean, you know, it was either the third, the fourth, or the fifth year of his ministry, which he was. He had a 2 year ministry, tiny bit over that, because he started in the fall when he was baptized. So, you know, roughly, you know, 2.5 years, a little less than that, was his ministry. So it was the third year of the ministry, which would have been the midst of the ministry either way. But no way on earth would this ever prove that Yeshua had to die on the fourth day of the week, on Wednesday. There's no scripture for that. There's no biblical evidence for that. There's none. So I know sometimes it's a little hard to go through when we're going through technical information like this, especially I have a chart here for the 3 days and three nights. I can't show it to you because we're in an audio message. But please go online and go to the book, The Biblical Calendar. I have a whole chapter on this. I have a chapter on the year of Yeshua's death, 30 AD, the beginning of the month, all of it. And every single thing is from Scripture with very, very dogmatic proof. This book is an awesome book, you know. Unfortunately, we're pretty much out of the book. We, you know, the written books, you know, we don't really have too many left in print. But it's online. You could read it. You can copy it. You can download it, whatever you want to do. But the Bible speaks for itself, right? So, like I said, when we're looking at the 3 days and three nights, and we're looking at the time of Yeshua's crucifixion, all you have to do is go back to the year that he died, 30 AD, clearly look when the new moon happened, and then go to the 14th day, and you'll clearly see that Yeshua died on a Thursday, on April 6th, was the Passover, and then the holy day was April 7th on a Friday, the Sabbath was on Saturday, and then on the first day of the week in the night portion, sometime in the night, you know, maybe 2, 3 in the morning, something like that, he was resurrected, there was a great earthquake, the stone was rolled away, Mary Magdalene came while it was still dark, maybe 5:30 in the morning, and he was already gone. So that is our Bible study for tonight. I pray everybody is preparing for Passover. We just have a little over a week left to it. Time is going fast, but this is going to be an important year with the Shemitah here, a year building up, a year tearing down, all these things happening in world news. And there's a lot of talk in Israel about, you know, war and different things coming up, and they're having so many problems with these trying to change the court system, and I don't know why Prime Minister Netanyahu is doing what he's doing, but it certainly is causing the worst division that country's ever had since 1948, since they started. So keep your eyes on Israel and look up, because your salvation is near. Yahweh bless, and we will see you during Passover. We will, like I said, we will have holy services for the Shabbat and for the high days. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.